comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahasko.
Welcome to episode number 49 of Nerds United. There's the big boy bubbles. Episode 49, Nerds United, Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko, and bringing back an old favorite, a former guest of mine, a longtime buddy. You might remember him as Mike. I don't think we gave the last name the last time for, protect the innocent or anonymity or whatever, so we're just going to call you Mike. Hi, Mike.
Howdy. Thanks for having me back.
We're recording as I'm driving, so I'm not holding the phone because in the state of Illinois, you can't hold your mobile device whilst you drive your motor vehicle.
I've seen hundreds of teen girls do it. I know it's possible, but we shouldn't.
Well, let's just say, let's not focus it squarely on teen girls, because I'm sure that motorists of all ages...
Well, that's true. That's a good point. I just get more annoyed.
I've done it. I'm a bad boy.
And it's been quite a bit since you've been a teen girl. It's a few years removed.
You're right. It's been at least a couple years since I've been a teen girl.
I haven't been a teen girl in... Let's just not bring it up.
So anyway, we're driving home. Went and saw Marvel's Ant-Man tonight, and so we're going to talk a little bit about it, but at the same time, we're going to do it in a way we hope that is spoiler-free. You got that, Mike? No spoilers.
I hate spoilers or getting surprised, so I'm going to do my very best because I respect that.
I will say, and I don't think this is a spoiler, as for the most part, Marvel movie fans know, stay through the end of all the credits. Wait for the lights to come back on.
Even if you have to pee.
Yeah, we found that one out. We're like, man, we could have peed. And we didn't. And so it was a quick, brisk walk down the steps at the end. Overall, what did you think of the movie, Mike?
Well, it's like I told you, kind of whispering annoyingly at you during one of the action sequences. I said they actually found a way to make Ant-Man cool to me. Every Marvel movie since Iron Man, in my opinion, has been wonderful, but I was kind of hesitant on this one. I didn't know if Paul Rudd could pull it off. I didn't know what to expect, but I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's going to go in my collection as soon as it's out on home video, so I would see it again. I thought it was really good.
Where does it rank on the Marvel movies that you've seen?
You mean on a star scale or next to certain names, or how do you want to rank it?
If you were ranking them favorites?
I think right up near the top would be Iron Man to me. That's kind of like one of my pinnacles. This one, I'd say maybe in the top 10%. And there's been a lot of Marvel movies, so that's not any kind of a slight. I'd have to look at a list of all of them, really, and then I'm getting into my nerd pondering, and, oh, I didn't mean to offend this one, and, oh, can I change my list? But I thought it was really good.
Chris Evans is so sad that you did not, that's the first thing that came to mind.
I'll call him tomorrow and tell him I'm sorry. Because Winter Soldier rocked. That's right up there, too. I'd rank Winter Soldier a little above Ant-Man. But, I'll text him. I'll smooth it over.
See, you have Chris Evans' texty text number. Being that I've always appreciated mythology, I talk with Chris Hemsworth all the time. Yeah, we're BFFs, I think, is what the kids are calling it.
Hey, the celebrities need wingmen.
I don't think anybody needs wingmen.
And if there's anybody that can eat wings, you're listening to two of them. So our job is to eat all the crap so they have abs and they look fabulous in the movie. We just rip it out of their hand, shove it in our face, and say, that one's for you. Take one for the team.
Yeah, yeah. And then I roll up a newspaper and smack Hemsworth on the nose and say, no.
And I no. rub the nose, you know, in the mess of wings. It's just, you know, I learned with puppies, it works.
What did you think, you mentioned Paul Rudd, what did you think about, was he able to carry, you know, the weight of being, you know, in a Marvel movie?
Yeah, the first few minutes of him being on screen, my cynical side was still, I don't know, we'll just see what happens, but when the plot gets a rolling and things go and you find out everybody's motivations and whatnot, he totally pulled it off. And I'm a Paul Rudd fan. I love especially his comedy work, but he was really relatable. He's like the everyman, and that really worked for him.
I'll tell you, this is what I need to do. I need to become an actor and get cast as a lead in a Marvel hero movie, because Chris Pratt, if anybody remembers him from Parks and Recreation, he was more my size. He was a thicker guy, and then you see him in Guardians of the Galaxy, and the guy's just ripped. Paul Rudd, I never really considered him, you know, I didn't really consider him at all, but he wasn't one that I thought, you know, would ever have to be really muscular, and for most of his roles, I don't think he ever needed to do that, but at one point they were showing a post-fight sequence, you know, a training sequence, and he was ripped abs, and I'm like, Paul Rudd has abs, and I don't know what's going on in the world anymore.
Yeah, I'd read online that he'd really, really got cut and exercised, and it was looking great, and I was kind of waiting to be impressed, and I'll be dadgum if I wasn't impressed.
Well, I know James Gunn, who wrote and directed Guardians of the Galaxy, said Chris Pratt was Star-Lord even if he didn't, you know, train and whatnot. And then, of course, Chris Pratt trained. So I don't know if there was a similar, motivation for Paul Rudd. I don't know if, between Edgar Wright, who started it, and Peyton Reed, I believe, who finished the project, I don't know if they put any stipulation on there about, you know, hey, by the way, you're going to be without a shirt in this one scene, and we kind of want you to look good. So I don't know. I don't know if anything was like, but again, I've been going to the gym. I've been going to the gym for 4 days. I'm sore. I'm aching. I don't want to go anymore, but I've got you because that's the only way I'm going to see results. But if I could do it all over again, I'd be a Marvel, you know, cast in a Marvel, you know, superhero movie and let Hollywood get me fit.
Well, there's ways around that. All you have to do is create the most of the entire universe, and then you're in every movie in a cameo. So I know Stan Lee doesn't work out, and he doesn't, you know, they don't tell him, hey, you're not a young man anymore. If you don't get that six-pack in shape, that's it.
He's got like a two-pack, and it's really just the plastic rings that are probably going to get caught on some poor dolphin's nose.
I'm just saying, all we've got to do is create every character in the movie, basically, and we're in.
I
bet they'd even let us sit in the director's, or, you know, one of those fancy movie chairs.
I would sit in one of those.
Yeah.
Temporarily. So all you're saying is that we have to create an entire universe of heroes or characters that nobody's ever heard of before, that are unlike anything anybody's ever seen. Wait about 60 years for them to really take off, and I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be long gone before we get there.
That's a defeatist attitude. I think we can do it.
40 years? Think we can do it in 40 years?
Well, let's not be ridiculous. Let's go 50.
50? That's a nice compromise.
We'll meet in the middle. Okay. You know, let's be realistic with our goals.
Speaking of Mr. Stanley, Excelsior, the Generalissimo himself, did you hear about his time at Comic-Con?
No, I didn't.
He was coming down off of the Fox panel. Marvel was not there at all this year. They did not have a presence at Comic-Con. That's true. Because, you know, Ant-Man was due out right now, you know, a week after Comic-Con. And they didn't have anything to show. They, you know, their cards had been displayed in front. So they didn't have a presence, but, of course, DC did and Fox did, which has the X-Men, Fantastic Four, Deadpool. I mean, Ryan Reynolds was there. And Channing Tatum was there. And I know, ladies, settle down.
Hold me back.
Settle down. But it's my understanding, I don't know the full story because I didn't click on any of the multiple links I saw, but apparently he helped Stan Lee get down off of the panel stage in Hall H. That was, you know, his, like, good guy Channing Tatum moment there.
What a hero, Duke. Way to go. I'm proud of you, buddy.
He actually says he horribly regrets making that movie.
You know, that's a guilty pleasure there. This is going to be very controversial, but yes, that movie was kind of a poop sandwich, but that was my childhood that became that poop sandwich, so it's kind of... I love it. It's a guilty pleasure. It's a bad movie, but I still watch it.
Did you ever see G.I. Joe Retaliation with Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Any better or about the same? On a scale of 1 to meh.
That's a pretty short scale.
Okay, 1 to meh to
I would say it's a movie. I don't know.
It's a cow movie? They really went in a new direction with this one, folks. They had to change it up because of the critics bombing the first one. And I'm surprised. I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah, there you go. I think I've created a whole new buzz for G.I. Joe.
You Retaliation. May generate, like,
I don't know,
20 more rentals at Family Video of this thing.
Do you like Bruce Willis?
I usually.
He was okay in it. I mean, The Rock was okay in it. I don't think anything really stood out as far as... Here's the thing. I rented it once. It's not a movie I own, if that's any indication. Like, I saw it. I can say I've seen it. It's not one that I have to say that I, you know, want to watch again.
Right. Like, so, my goal is to see this. I've now seen it. I can move on.
Yeah. But if, folks, if your goal is to watch G.I. Joe Retaliation, you really need to change up your perspective of life.
Well, I mean, short-term goal. I don't mean, like, I want to raise a family and right past that. On my bucket list is G.I. Joe Retaliation. It's on my calendar. But
speaking of bucket list, the
good
movie...
Good segue.
The movie bucket list, we had to make a delivery after going to see Ant-Man as we head home, and I dropped off the bucket list at my parents' house. They have never seen the movie, or they've seen bits and pieces of it. They're about to head out on vacation, and they're like, can you send us a list of some movies that you have? We know you've got a ton, and I do, folks. I've got a ton of movies.
So on your list was a movie about a list.
That's right.
And is your mind blown? Maybe.
It's like Inception, a dream inside a dream. A list on a list. But I sent them probably 80 movies that I had, and I'm sitting there last week at 10:30 at night typing these out on my phone with my thumbs because I'm a genius. And I threw in things that really ran the gamut. I mean, I like Casablanca, Ben-Hur.
Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
No.
Oh. My parents, man. Gee, inappropriate. Inappropes.
It's funny and you know it.
I don't want to think about it. but anyway, so I sent them a long list of movies, and my dad's like, yeah, we've either seen those or don't want to see those. The only one on the list that really interests us, bucket list. All right, so we had to drop that off. That's the end of that story.
I always had trouble throwing a movie at my dad that he hadn't seen in his lifetime, even if he couldn't remember anything about the movie. He had seen it, and it was about the same boat there. I just saw this great movie. It was so awesome. It was made in in the 60s, and it was, oh yeah, yeah, I remember when that came out. Dang it! Well, what about this one? Nobody likes this movie. Oh yeah, I watch that all the time. No!
Movies were not a big thing in my house growing up. I remember being a kid, going over to a friend's house. He lived next street over, and he like opened up this drawer, and in the drawer was movies like, I don't think Jurassic Park, but like all the Critters movies. I mean, it was drawers of movies all leaned in. I'm like, that's the dream right there. That's what I'm aspiring to. So
did it sing when you opened the drawer?
A light shone.
A beam shone down on it. Yes.
That's right. And so I'm like, that's the goal. That's where I want to get to. And I think I surpassed that number and then some.
I've seen his collection. It's impressive.
Thank you. I love movies. And, you know, if I can get 2 hours or so away from reality, I'm all for it.
I don't know about you, Greg, but the older I get, I want to refine my collections to where I don't just want to amass a big stack of music or movies. I want to be elite, to where they look at it like, this person has taste and they rock, and I should listen to everything they say.
I can't really do that. And the reason being is because I share a movie shelf with my wife, and she has the Twilight movies.
No, then you just point out which ones are definitely not yours and which ones definitely are. That's the step for that. And you hide your copy of G.I. Joe Retaliation.
I don't have a copy, I'm telling you.
If one did.
What about G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, though? Do you hide that, or do you display it proudly?
Usually, most of my nerdery collection is no longer in the house, so I don't have to worry about it.
That's true. You got the man cave, though.
Yeah, the cave of man. And it's out there. I'll cop to that. I'll admit to it being on my shelf.
I haven't been out to your cave of man in a while, but it seems like the last time I was there, there were no cave of man drawings.
Well, there's...
No.
Posters.
I want stick figure.
What do you want? Like a triangular figure with a bow and arrow getting a buffalo style
mammoth.
Creature?
I want mammoth? I want mammoth.
Okay, this is my assignment. I'm going to work on it.
Yeah, homework.
Yep.
And I want it done by Monday.
Now, come on now.
All right, fine. Tuesday.
They have thousands of years. At least give me till Tuesday.
Fine. I don't think they had thousands of years. Do you think that they were around, Neanderthals were around thousands of years?
No, not really.
All right. Back to Ant-Man. And eventually we're going to...
We're bringing it back full circle, folks.
No, we're not. We're bouncing all over the place, because that's how I roll. Michael Douglas was in Ant-Man. And I think it's a credit to Marvel Studios that they've had individuals like Michael Douglas, Robert Redford... in their movies, you know, some, I don't want to just say established, but iconic,
right?
You know, actors in their movies. I mean, at this point, if you're an actor at all, you kind of like, I want to be in a Marvel movie.
Right, and I would, like with Redford and Douglas, I was surprised and impressed that they got names like that, and I wonder whether those actors did it to be a part of something exciting, or if it was more trying to rejuvenate a career, if it was just lucrative. I wonder, maybe a combination of all of it.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you figure, we all know that Robert Downey Jr. is making some good money.
Oh yeah.
I would imagine Chris Evans is making some good money. Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, I think, was making, or probably is making good money. I mean, you think about it, she's the female that Marvel has right now.
Right.
Mark Ruffalo's probably not there yet, but I imagine he's very close to being, you know.
He's about to come into his own, I think.
But, yeah, I don't think these, you know, they're not getting the multi-picture deals, you know, that like, the Tony Starks and the Steve Rogers are getting it. So it's a little different, but, you know, you pay them based on what they're worth, and let's face it, those are some Hollywood heavy hitters. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I thought Michael Douglas did a solid job. I enjoyed his character, and I thought he did great.
I'm tired. Sorry, folks, I usually don't yawn during the podcast. The bad guy, Cross, he was very cross, and he, you know, took a right cross, and he delivered a right cross. All right, puns aside, I can't remember the actor's name. I thought he did a pretty decent job. Kind of that, you know, the way they wrote it, the forlorn, you know, need a father figure type of character is, you know, which is a trope of many stories. But I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah, there was. I thought his performance was good. I didn't recognize him personally from anything else. Thought he played the villain well. One thing that I wish they would have done more, and I'm gonna try and not spoil anything here. They established his motivation. There was one scene that was almost, I don't know, I found myself sympathetic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would have developed that in a few more scenes or in lengthening that dialogue because I thought it was a good scene. And I love villains that are almost like an anti-hero. I want to almost feel for them, and then they turn around and you're like, oh, now I remember why I don't like you.
Right.
But, oh, look at you again. No, now I remember why I don't like you.
Yeah, I think he played that part well. The supporting cast was diverse. It was fun. You look at, the trio that helped out, you know, that was the supporting, I don't want to say thieves or whatever, but the crew around Paul Rudd, I thought they were fun and injected a lot of that lightheartedness into the movie. Again, the things you see in the Marvel movies, you don't necessarily see in the DC movies.
Right.
And that's okay. People get so Marvel versus DC that they don't realize that...
They're on the same side.
Yeah, why would you want... You know, two sets of movies, two different brands that are exactly the same.
Right.
Why you can have the lighthearted, more fun side of Marvel and the darker, grittier, more serious DC. That's perfectly fine. I don't know why people, you know, demand that DC, you know, characters lighten up. But what do I know?
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. I really thought T.I. did a great job.
Limited screen time, but, you know, did play that role very well.
Yeah, and I've seen him in a few other films, and I enjoy it. I think he's got talent, and he's got a burgeoning career, I think, that he's got potential. So, definitely good comic relief there.
By the way, another movie that I saw recently with him, and it was Get Hard. Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart, very funny, slightly stereotypical, but...
Yeah, I heard that.
We watched it a week ago or so, and you know, we laughed. So take that with a grain of salt, all of you. But the one thing that really got me digging out my recording device, a.k.a. iPhone, we were talking about comic books, and anybody, I guess, has seen Back to the Future 2. We know Marty McFly grabs a sports almanac from the future, and Biff gets a hold of it, gives it to his younger self. Younger self makes all the right bets, makes all the money, and becomes an ass. So we were talking here, like, and if we had a time machine, I wouldn't go to the future and get, you know, a sports almanac and come back and bet on games or anything. I'd go to the past, get Action Comics number 1, Detective Comics 27, Amazing Fantasy 15...
And lock them up and make them airtight as possible.
Absolutely right. I'd bag them and board them from the future.
polypropylene, folks.
Now, here's a fun question. Do you, like, put them in a secure location and let time do that? Or do you just buy it, bag it, board it, bring it to the future and be like, hey, did you just bring this off the shelf? what's going on? I mean, how do you approach
this?
This
is a reprint.
In this hypothetical universe that I'm not at all working on a time machine right now.
Here's another nerd scientific question.
Answer my question first. Or not.
Well, it kind of leads into this question.
Okay.
Because even if you did bag and board it, if you transport something into the future, does it just age when it comes into the present?
Well, for that, I think you have to look at what we know of time machines as we've seen them, like the DeLorean. Anything that was in the vehicle was perfectly fine. Look at the time machine of H.G. Wells' creation. If you were in the bubble of light, you're okay. If there's a dangling arm holding on to you and you're zipping into the future, that arm's going to, you know, well, the arm's going to stay the same age, but the body's going to wither away very rapidly.
And this is according to Hawking's formulas. I just want to know, though, one thing, Greg.
Yeah.
What's a gigawatt? Is that a watt with some rhythm and some skill in the dancing department, or?
Because it can dance a jig?
Right.
No, I don't know. My belief, my very uneducated belief about the gigawatt is that it is a unit of power?
Well, I assume that much. That's all I know about it, though.
Alright, that's all I know. So that's what I'm going with, the power.
Other than the fact that if you get a DeLorean up to a certain speed, you know, it's 1.21.
Yeah,
gigawatts.
And when you get to 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious stuff.
Right.
And of course, by stuff, I mean shit. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's after 11. This is Nerds United After Dark.
Adult happy hour.
Which is funny because as I say that, knowing full well that this episode is going to be published tomorrow morning, it's after 11 in the morning.
I can't wait.
That means I've just set myself up. I've got a lot of work to do when I get home tonight. Good job, Mike.
You can do it. I have faith in you. But I want to throw another question at you that we were talking about earlier,
Greg. I'm prepared.
We talked about the select few comics that we would bring back to present to strike it rich.
Right.
We also talked about a few other things that we would like to have. You know, you want to fill our audience in on a few of those that they see if they can guess them, or
I would like to have the power ring of the Green Lantern.
We didn't talk about that.
All right, now you're gonna have to refresh my memory.
We talked about, let's say, stock in Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
We wanna get things on the ground floor that nobody else knows
Google.
About.
Google
it. Yes.
Give me some Google stock.
Absolutely.
From the beginning.
We don't want to sell our souls for Walmart, but it sure would be nice to get in on the ground floor of that and then dump the stock. You know,
and
take the money.
And do we? How do I put this delicately? Is there a way to make Kris Jenner unable to reproduce?
If we could have, science would have. I can only hope.
I don't think so. I'm just kidding, Chris.
But he's working on it, you know.
I'm working on the time machine. That's all I'm worried. I'm focused on the time machine. Yeah, so we don't need the Kardashians or Kanye. But that's just me being old and bitter and old and afraid of change like any other, you know, white guy. So, with that being said, we're almost to the point of stopping this because I think we've run out of things to talk about.
Oh, I don't know about that. We happened to see a good friend of ours at the movie theater, our friend Tim from Twilight Comics.
Are you name-dropping my
comics? I am totally name-dropping because I enjoy talking with Tim. But it was neat to see a table set up with some comic merch.
Yeah, you got
in a theater.
Tell us a little bit. Tell us, Mike, about the comic you picked up at the movie theater.
Well, we'd already been to our favorite haunt, but I didn't know that they'd have the table set up there. I didn't know. I've been enjoying the Marvel Star Wars line, and I was totally unaware that they had a new fourth title out. Star Wars with Cassidy is phenomenal. I think I bought the first issue of Princess Leia, and then there's Darth Vader. New one out about Lando Calrissian.
Hey.
I think it's just called Lando.
Right.
Promises to be interesting.
Do you think that Lando's going to drink a cold 45?
I hope so.
That's not a race thing. That's a Billy D. Williams.
Oh, no, no. He was marketing that product. I remember it.
And did very well with it.
Yeah.
Even as recently as a couple years ago, I remember seeing billboards for it. But
yeah. Because nothing says class like Colt 45.
That's true. Now, you know that they have announced another Star Wars spinoff movie.
I think I heard that, but I don't remember right now what it is.
And it's going to be an origin story for Han Solo.
That's right.
You would have to think, in that movie, wouldn't you, that they would have that game of chance where Han beat Lando and won the Millennium Falcon?
I would think that would be in there. I always wondered more about that story. Half of me wants to see it, though. Half of me wants to just kind of leave it alone and move on to new territory that I haven't already imagined what it would be like. So I'm kind of a purist, but it's probably going to be in there, I would say.
So the fun question begins, if Lando is in the Han Solo movie, who plays Lando?
I think it should be an unknown.
But you got to have somebody who's going to bring that cool, man. That late 70s, early 80s cool that Lando brought. Because, you know, the greatest thing about Billy D. Williams, he's cooler than the other side of the pillow.
Had to be to pull off the cape.
Yeah, there are only two guys in the entire, known galaxy far, far away that wore a cape.
Yeah, and one of them did the pinchy thing where he could just cut off your ear. And the other one had
the
to
pinchy
pull
thing?
Yeah.
The pinchy thing? You mean the force choke?
I like calling it the pinchy thing because it's funnier.
It's a good thing this conversation's almost over. I gotta go home and wash my eyes out with bleach. I don't know how that would help.
I know. How would washing your eyes help to erase the memory of my lame joke?
I don't know. The pinchy thing, though, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we are very near to wrapping this old son of a gun up. Anything else that we need to cover that we haven't covered? I mean, I know there's a lot, but...
Well, I'm looking forward to... They had the trailer for the Fantastic Four movie.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Promises to be good. I think they could have done better with the first two, but I think they're going to knock it out of the park with this one, Greg.
I've been saying that. I was not on the bandwagon, and after seeing all this internet reaction of everybody hating on it, I said, you know what? Just for kicks and grins, I'm going to join the bandwagon.
Why were they hating on it, though?
They didn't like the casting of Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm.
I knew you were going to say that.
Many of them, and initial reports indicated that Dr. Doom was going to be like a blogger/hacker and go by the name Doom, and I think that has since been debunked, especially with what we learned at Comic-Con a week ago. But yeah, it's right up there with, we already saw two Fantastic Four movies that were fantastic crap. why are you giving us another one? Give the rights back to Marvel. It is what it is. I'm excited for it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to check it out. I think it's going to be good. Give it a shot, folks. I don't think you'll be disappointed when Fantastic Four comes out the first weekend of August. And if you haven't thought about it yet, go see Ant-Man, because I think you'll be entertained.
Yeah. This was the first I'd seen the Fantastic Four trailer at all. I just had heard about it coming out. I was impressed. I think it's going to be fun and pretty awesome. I think the casting is going to be better. Chris Evans he's Captain America now. I think that is a better fit for him. Not that I disliked his performance in the original two, but he was the only real shining star out of all four of them. And from what I saw of the preview, I think the casting is going to be better. I don't know what the fuss is about. I think they should give it a chance. I don't know whether it's just for ignorance sake or what, but I think it's going to be solid.
Don't mess with fanboys, Mike.
That's right. Can't have change. But we can have Michael Chiklis? Really?
Hey, hey. Or, yeah, never mind. Moving on. That is it for episode 49. And just a little...
I think it was 48, though.
No, it's 49. Don't sass me. I looked it up ahead of time. I might have said 48 earlier, but it's 49. Because 48 was an interview with Nico about the memories of El Daria.
That was so dramatic.
I worked on that.
That was good. He even had his hand raised in a gesture of power and strength.
It was great. When I'm recording, when I was doing radio, I would typically make hand gestures, which is great because nobody can see that. So I'm glad that somebody was able to witness my ridiculousness.
I can testify to that. But you know
what?
All the great voices for animation and whatnot, when you see them perform, they're so into it with their whole body. That's what makes it great. So, you could do cartoons?
I would love to.
Wouldn't it be great?
That reminds me of someone I've got to reach out to try to have on my show. But I'm not going to get into any more of that. Thank you for tuning in to this little quick hit episode 49 with my buddy Mike. And a little talk about Ant-Man and a few other goodies and a cat running across the road. That's safe. Not for the cat, but, you know, for me. I slowed down, don't worry. But that's episode 49. Thanks so much for tuning in this time and every time, Nerds United, where you can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Pod Directory, and, of course, JitteryMonkey.com. Thank you so much.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.